this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, we've been looking for a little while at some of the things that God says we are to help us to get a better hold of that. And today our first scripture lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. Now he who established us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So in this verse, it tells us that we are established, anointed, and sealed. So not only did you get up really early for church this morning, but you get three sermons. I'm kidding. They're really all very related with one another. But we do want to take a look at each of them on their own. First of all, God says that we are established. Now, to be established means to be made firm. In Colossians chapter 2, I should have marked these, verses 6 and 8, I'm sorry, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I should have washed my glasses this morning. So as we are established, that is made firm, we need, as followers of Christ, to continue in him, to get stronger in our walk. Because where this verse is really going to be taking us is the fact that God has something planned for us. He has something for us to do in our lives. I know this is something I've mentioned before, but it is something that we really have to remember. It is something we need to be reminded about. I think sometimes frequently, as we are anointed, the word anointed means consecrated and designated as having authority and power. In the Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you." Jesus here is talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit we consider to be our anointing. In the church, we anoint people with oil a lot of times, as you know, when we pray over somebody, we'll anoint them with oil. And the oil that we use represents the Holy Spirit. It represents this anointing that we as Christians have of the Holy Spirit. It is there to remind us that God is with us. We are consecrated. We are set apart for whatever this purpose is that God has for us. And we are also sealed. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. See, the seal that we're given is not only there to mark us and to show that we are God's. We've talked before about how we are the property of God. The seal is also a guarantee. I don't know if I was reading about this just the other day. If you're familiar with the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, which we see on some of the products that we have, it's a seal. It's there as a guarantee. And I didn't know this before, but when Good Housekeeping puts its seal of approval on something, they're not just saying that this product is guaranteed. For example, there's a cleaning product called Simple Green that has the Good Housekeeping seal of approval on it. Now, it's not only guaranteed by the Simple Green people, I don't know who manufactures the stuff, it's a cleaning product. Good Housekeeping guarantees it as well. So if this product does not live up to the standards that they say it's going to live up to, if it doesn't do what it says it's going to do, Good Housekeeping will give you your money back. That's how much they believe in the product. They don't even make the stuff, but they guarantee it. Just as we, in whatever it is we are set out to do, are guaranteed to be successful. provided, of course, we do what we're intended to do, what God intends for us to do. Simple Green is guaranteed as a cleaning product. It is not guaranteed as a cat food. Just like with wheat for us, with what God has intended for us to do, that is guaranteed. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I think is what really pulls all of this together for me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God has something planned for us. I'm not going to stand here and tell anybody specifically what God has planned for you, but He has something planned for you. He has a job for you to do. It's really up to us to do it. We sometimes forget that it's up to us. But we have a free will. We get to make decisions as to the things we do. God gives us that choice. We can either do what He wants for us to do or we don't. And we make that decision every day. Sometimes we won't even know what it is we're going to do. We may go through our lives without knowing. Now, I know many of you got to meet Colleen this morning, whom this church has prayed for Colleen. And I promise you, others have as well, right? Colleen has been working. She just turned 2, and she's already been working. There are people who have prayed for Colleen who have not prayed before, probably. There are probably people who have gone to church because of Colleen who haven't gone to church before, am I right? She's already working. She doesn't know it yet. But someday she's going to get to make a decision to work for God. Someday she'll get to make that decision. She's already been part of planting seeds. And sometimes that's all we get to do. I know another great seed planter, and I don't know if y'all are getting tired of hearing this story, but I'm not tired of telling it yet. When my father was in the hospital, when he had Alzheimer's, I remember visiting with him one day, and we would have the same conversation about every 5 minutes. And this one particular day, he was in the ICU over at Passavant Hospital. And he asked me, where are we? It looks like a hospital room. I said, yeah, this is your hospital room. And we'd talk about things for a few minutes, and then he'd stop, and he'd look around, and he was confused. Are we in a hospital room? Yeah, Dad, we're in a hospital room. So he didn't know where he was. But eventually a nurse came in and said, how are you doing today, Jimmy? And he said, well, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Everything's going to be fine. And based on the conversations I've had with him, I know that's probably not the only time he said that. But what a marvelous testimony of faith. He didn't know where he was, but he knew everything was going to be fine because he loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. And I have to believe that one of the nurses, at least one of the nurses, there was some kind of seed planted in that. Maybe if she was a believer already, maybe that firmed things up for her. We never know who we're going to affect in our lives from some of the statements we make. Has anyone here ever heard of Mordecai Ham? You have. Has anybody else ever heard of Mordecai Ham? Mordecai Ham was an evangelist who, actually I have notes here, on November 1st, 1934, in a tent revival meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, led 15-year-old Billy Graham to the Lord. I'm pretty sure everybody here has heard of Billy Graham. Somebody had to tell Billy Graham about Jesus. Now, Billy Graham was a rebellious young child. According to his biography, his opinion was that church and revival meetings and those kind of things were meant for effeminate old men and crazy old women. Those are Billy Graham's words. But at this tent revival meeting, he came to know the Lord. Now, there's a long list of, you know, who brought Ham to Christ. It was supposedly a fellow named Billy Sunday, and he was brought to Christ by Wilbur Chapman, and he was brought to Christ by Dwight Moody, and he was brought to Christ by William Kimball. And actually, this is the list that everybody hears, but it's probably a little more involved than that. But not only do we have this preacher who is given the credit, we forget somebody really important in that picture. Billy Graham was at that revival because his father made him go. We forget his dad in the picture sometimes. Not only did his father make him go to that revival, his father and the father of Grady Williams, who also came to know the Lord the same day, has been very involved in the Billy Graham ministry, and Grady Williams' father are the ones who brought the revival to the community that week. Preachers generally don't just bring a tent into town and pitch their tent and start preaching. Somebody has to make arrangements. Somebody has to bring it there. It was Billy Graham's dad and Grady Williams' dad who invited Mordecai Ham to preach and then made their kids go. We never know exactly where the word is going to come from. Billy Sunday, who is given credit for bringing Mordecai Ham to church, we're told that, I'm looking at names, we're told that William Chapman is the one who brought him to Christ, but in reality, according to Billy Sunday's biography, he came to Christ listening to a street corner preacher whose name he didn't know. Some guy standing on a street corner preaching the gospel, didn't know his name, but I'll bet you they got together again in heaven. We don't know who we're going to reach in our everyday lives. We don't know whose lives we're going to touch, but there's a plan. We need to follow it. We need to go where we're led. We need to do the things that we're led to do. We need to behave the way we're meant to behave. People can then look upon us, look on our lives, see who we are, find out where we came from, and hopefully through that they will come to know Christ. We are established, made firm in our faith. We are sealed, that is, set apart, consecrated for the task ahead of us. We are sealed. We are guaranteed success, provided we do what we are intended to do. Let us remember that today. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final words for today are established, anointed, and sealed. We are established in that our lives have prepared us for service to God. Your experiences, the things you have done, have made you able to speak to people in ways that other people can't. You can reach people that I can't. You have been anointed. God has set for you some task. You have been sealed. Guaranteed success, provided you do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're intended to do. I felt a calling to ministry from the time I think I was 16 or 17 years old. And then I failed public speaking in college and quit for I couldn't tell you how many years, maybe 15 years, before I decided to go back into ministry. I missed those years. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't rely on him. I didn't understand this guarantee of success. I'm still a horrible public speaker. But if I'm preaching the gospel, then I'm talking good-ly-ish. I'm talking good. Words is hard. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.